Keep them coming in as well. Now let's talk about our Super Eagles players abroad and the moves they are making. The transfer window is heating up and certain Super Eagles players are on the move. Now we hear newly promoted Salernitana have struck a deal with Crotone for Nigerian international striker Nwankwo Simi. Simi Nwankwo, more like, for €6 million. Now, reports in Italy, reliable sources are saying both clubs have reached a complete agreement during a telephone meeting. Now, the transfer, like I said, is worth €6 million, including bonuses and add-ons. Simi, like you remember, if you recall, more like, scored 20 Serie A goals in 38 games for Crotone last season, but still was unable to prevent them from relegation. He had been heavily linked with numerous clubs outside Italy, including clubs in England and Spain and Germany, but the 29-year-old was determined to stay in Italy, where he has lived for many years. We heard the likes of Torino and even Tottenham Hotspur were mentioned as potential interest or suitors for Simi Nwankwo, but according to reports in Italy, he will be joining newly promoted Salernitana in the Italian Serie A. Tony, is this a step up or a step down? Now, we know Crotone relegated, Salernitana up to the first division, but in terms of pedigree, in terms of club, in terms of his achievement last season, what do you make of this deal?
I don't know. I'm disappointed. I was expecting far better. I don't know. It's, of course, I mean, he's with a side who is going to be playing in the top flight. Well, if that move goes through. All right. So in some description, it's... you know, I feel so, because I mean, really, I was expecting him to have, you know, really strong attractions from a very good side. I mean, Simi have been a regular goal poacher, you know, even in the Serie B with Crotone, he was instrumental to them being promoted. Last season, I think he scored 18 goals in the Serie A. Terrific striker. He's, and I don't know, I just feel that it's also one of the issues that's bedeviling some of our players across Europe, and the fact that you see the kind of clubs that, you know, get attracted with some of our players and you shake your head. I mean, if you score 18 goals in the Italian Serie A top flight, you should be attracting interest from, you know, top table or mid table
because there are clubs outside England. I mean, potentially
we're just hearing rumors. Yeah. There have been no actual, I think the actual team that is ready to pay $6 million for him is this Salernitana, which is just getting promoted and all of that. So I'm not particularly so happy, but if he gets to move, one thing is assured, he'll keep on playing top flight, and you know, we'd still see him in the Serie A. But then for the quality of team, I was expecting that he could do better, and you know, questions coming to the four as regards who is his agent, who are the guys, you know, ensuring to get him to a better team. I feel like Simi needs a better team to really show what he has got. He's always done well with all of these, you know, lowly ranked teams and all of that. It'll be interesting to see him get tested, you know, at the very top level. So, it is what it is. So we just see if that deal can pull through. What is important is he'll still remain in the top flight.
All right. Simi Nwankwo, according to reports, will be staying in the Serie A, and hopefully he will get on to bigger things this season with Salernitana, the newly promoted club.
Sam, just before you run off to something else, valid, you know, consents coming through from Anthony, and of course consents that all have on their elite too. But you could argue, on the other hand, that anything away from a relegated side is good. Simi's 29. Agree, this could also be perhaps the last big deal for him, and the money's not like it's even big money. But we've seen players get relegated with teams and remain with those teams. Troy Deeney, for all of his greatness, when Watford got relegated, he had to stay with that side. So having the privilege of even seeing, you know, the potential of Simi Nwankwo stepping out of the shadows of the Serie A B to return again to the Serie A, whether it's with Antony FC, as far as they are playing in the top division at this stage, I'll just say thank you, Father.
I don't agree.
It's better than going down to the CDG.
You talked about, you know, some players who, despite, I mean, how many players get to score 18, 19 top flight goals in a league like the Serie A? I feel like, I mean, expectedly, he's supposed to attract interest from at least mid-table teams. A lot of these, you know, mid-table teams, how many strikers get to score that amount of goals? Which is why I think, I mean, the issue of Nigerian players not actually getting, if that was a European tumor, if he was a, you and I know that we will be talking about potent interest from, you know, better placed teams having to swap, you know, I don't know. I just don't rate that move as such. But like I said, it is what it is.
You know, when people say it is what it is, it's just like in my local palace, that Diafra, I good, I bad, whichever the case may be, you just take it. Well, moving from Simi Nwankwo, a Super Eagles player, let's talk about another one who made his debut not so long ago playing for Enyimba. Well, Esperance have confirmed the signing of Anaya Uwala from Nigerian Professional Football League side Enyimba. He's moved on to the Tunisian side. And with this move, he joins a growing list of Nigerians who have represented the four-time CAF Champions League winners. He will be playing under the supervision of Radi Jaidi. Now we know him, a great Tunisian legend, played at the Nations Cup they won in 2004. Yeah, Radi Jaidi. Iwala would be hoping to help the reigning Tunisian Elite Division champions to a remarkable outing during next season's CAF Champions League. Now reacting to the development of former NPFL player, Sunshine Stars attacker, that's Olorudari, says he believes this will be a big move for Anaya Iwala and that it will help him improve. Taking a quote from him, he said, "This is a good move from the youngster and I believe this will improve his development in the beautiful game."
Well, 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 Anaya Imane Iwala, I think he's had a very fast career. Moved to Enyimba just 2 years ago. I remember I talked about how Enyimba actually spotted him when he came for a Super 8 tourney in Aba, and then he was with Delta Force, and Enyimba quickly, you know, snapped on him. Of course, it was a star-studded team when he came on board. There were bigger names that he really struggled to find shirt, but eventually, big kudos to the coach, talking about the former coach who actually kept faith with him, and then talking about Usman Abdallah, and then when the deal came for Stanley Dingba, now he went to South Africa, and then Anayo just took that left wing and made it his own. He became very, very solid. He became that kind of player that, you know, teams will be very, very, you know, afraid to, you know, come up against. And for the player himself, he's not the first Nigerian to actually play in that Northern Africa. Sincerely, I'm happy for him. Yeah, an upgrade to his career. Moving from West Africa to North Africa, where things are better, a lot more organized, where pay packets are better. And there's been talks about the people that have been there. I mean, I think I mentioned it on Sunday, Nigerians that have been there. Recently, I can remember Sikiru Alimi. Back in the day, I remember the likes of MMA Dwok, Ubong Ekpai, even Garba Lawal, even Julius Agahua. These guys have asked in that North Africa. Sometimes, some of them, you know, have found life favorable. Sometimes, some of them have struggled to adapt to the food, to the language barriers, the weather, the culture that generally, and it affects them. They don't get to express themselves in the field of play. But for Anayo, I hope that is not the case for him. Looking at, you know, I think that's a move he wanted. You know, some of us, I feel personally now, I feel he was always probably going to be a European material. But then he looks set, he looks happy, you know, to make that switch to Tunisia. And sincerely, we wish him well. And we should know that all those runs he's been making at Enyimba, all those deliveries in the box, he has to do them times two now. He has to intensify his efforts. He needs to really up his game to make sure that he's in the starting lineup of, you know, that Tunisian side. He's a star-studded side. And, you know, there are some mistakes he will do as a player. Then we'll overlook him and say, oh, he's an NPFL player. But then he needs to really... But now, over there in North Africa, he will not make these mistakes and then we'll overlook it. No, you expected, you know, to just be almost that perfect player. And you also should understand that it's a teamwork no longer, you know, when he wants to hold on to the ball and, of course, to the detriment of the team. So a lot is expected from Anayo. And I'm sincerely happy for him. There's been talks about how much he's going to earn. He's going to earn about $25,000. If you do your math, it's going to be about 10 million naira. That's a humongous amount of money, you know. And therefore, Enyimba should be, I think, smiling to the bank. Enyimba going to get about 200 million. And the Delta Force have a stake in that deal where he came from. So it's time for some club in Nigeria to start smiling to the bank. And it will go a long way in offsetting some things in the club, issues of bonuses, issues of allowances, and all that. But, Anayo is not the only one in the news. Timothy Dala, the Enyimba defender, his contract has expired. He's also been linked with a move to MLS, talking about the USA. And of course, Victor Mboma, who is Enyimba's poster boy when it comes to this Confederations Cup and CAF Cups, also has also been linked away from the club to a club side in South Africa. So, you know, you can understand why some of these players are making these moves. Their welfare is not totally guaranteed. Their pay packet not guaranteed. Esther Coates sometimes not get paid. And then when they interact with some of their fellow counterparts over there, they ask questions and they say, no, that's not how it's... There's a club, you know, a couple of days ago, a club in Nigeria that went to their social media account to tell the players that if you receive a call from us, you know that you're part of the season. You're part of the plans next season. But if you don't receive a call from us, then you're not part of the plan. What does that tell you? These are the kind of issues we need to look at. These players probably have signed 1 or 2 3-year contracts. Maybe that contracts that will see them up to 2024. And then you're telling them, if I call you on the phone, these uncertainties make our players to even want to jump to Monrovia. Anything other than Nigeria is somehow, you know, better for some of our players. So we have a whole lot of issues to sort out. I really wish Anayo well. Hopefully, if he plays football well, if he concentrates, if he remains focused, who knows, in the next 2-3 years, Tunisian side now, talking about his side, Esperance will be cashing out again, maybe sending him to a European club. I think that is where I feel he's immaterial.
All right, the future of Anayo Iweala at Esperance of Tunisia, dissected by Daisy Michael. And we also hear from Simi Wanko, Anayo Iweala. We hear that Atalanta are interested in Everton striker, forward more like, former Arsenal player Alex Iwobi. And Chuma, the question now is, you look across the whole of Europe and even on the African continent now with Iweala moving to Tunisia, we've got the Leicester City duo of Kelechi Iheanacho and Wilfred Ndidi. We've got Simi Wanko at Salernitana. That's going to getting used to. We've got so many other players across board. Watford have got 5 Nigerians these days in their side. Which of these Super Eagles players do you think is best positioned to have the best season? And not just a season on a personal note, but that sort of season that can rival the African counterparts like the Mohamed Salahs, the Sadio Manes, the Riyad Mahrezes. Which African player of all the Super Eagles player can have that sort of season this time around?
It's hard that, you know, one will have to think deep and hard. You have to pick out the name who will genuinely be in contention, and it's a shame. It's just a reminder of how tough things are for our stars. We don't really have the biggest of names on the continent, and that's the truth. Alex Iwobi, who you just mentioned, we thought that maybe Arsenal were a pedestal higher for him, and he moved to Everton. In Everton, he's still not the star boy in the Everton setup. I think you always want to go back to the options of Iheanacho, looking at what he did last season, and of course, coming off the bench to get the penalty and scoring the Community Shield game to count for something. And the fact that, as much as Brendan Rodgers sometimes looks like he doesn't want to be starting Iheanacho every time, but when the boy has his chance, he proves his worth. Look at him and think that he can make things happen. Of course, you look at Victor Osimhen, who was hit big time last time out. All of the pressure after, what, €70 million or thereabouts transfer to the Napoli setup, and COVID-19 issues hit him, injury issues hit him. He still found a way to give them double figures at the end of the season. So you feel now he's gotten into the Italian groove for one season. This is going to be his second stint, and he should be able to do better. I would have been excited for Paulo Nwachu, but the sad thing is he's playing for a club that is not the biggest of clubs, because he's already scored, what, 3-4 goals for his side in the league, you know, featuring for that side, Paulo Nwachu. He's one guy who has proven his worth, but the sad thing, just like potentially ex-Crotone man now, Simi Nwanko, is for these Nigerians who we even see and hype and say, ah, this guy is doing well, why is it that the big clubs are not coming for them? There has to be some something that these clubs are seeing. We talk about agents. Yeah, I know agents play a major part. Mino Raiola and co have built a brand, but not every player in world football who's made big deals has a Mino Raiola. So I don't think we should keep making excuses about agents. So you feel Ndidi, for example, it's a shame that the entire transfer window is going to last until August 30, but the one that stretched during the off-season, the season ends in England, the off-season ends because something new starts on Saturday, and we should have even heard a rumour like, okay, so team are looking for Ndidi and they're asking for 50 million. But you're like, we don't want our guy, as if he's staying fresh for midfield. So it's a Nigerian problem. And again, you know, that's why I said that sometimes you know, all of the callers called in, or most of them, to blast the AFN, factional AFN leader. But truly, as much as you could argue that he doesn't have the local standing to argue or to be the one making those statements, but you look at our players and our sportsmen, truly, are they really the best in what they do? You know, are they giving enough to their craft? It would not be difficult, as I wrap up now, just rewinding back somewhere to the 94, 98, 2000 era, and we can go on with a litany of Nigerian players who played for big teams. But where are we now? Where are we? That's the problem. How many Nigerian players are playing for big teams? We're shouting Iheanacho and Ndidi. Leicester, by the high standards of world football, are Leicester one of the biggest teams in the world? No. Napoli, by high standards of world football, are they top 10 in the world? No. And these are the best that we have for Nigeria. So there has to be something around our talents that should unlock them. There has to be something that these guys realize that's their problem. You know, 1999, last time a Nigerian won the African Player of the Year award. Bro. Administrators have their issues, but our sports stars also need to up their game.
Now, quickly, Chuma, you know, that agent part really looks somehow, but it's highly important. Your agent is your face. Your agent is your representative. So I'm not talking about, you made a good point. We are, our Super Eagles are not playing in the best of the clubs, like Barca's of this world, Chelsea and Man United. But somebody like Ndidi, for instance, has been consistent in the last 4 or 5 years. Ever since he came to England, he has really put in a wrong foot for Leicester City. But now, when you have most of all these agents, I talked about them belonging to some sort of a fraternity. They've got all the connect to virtually all the clubs. You cannot tell me now that someone like Ndidi, if he has a good... We are talking about Lukaku. How on earth has Lukaku racked up so much amount of money? This is a player that I've won only after his exploits with Anderlecht in 2011. The second trophy he's winning in his career is with Italian Serie A after 10 years. It's about the packaging.
Is it about Lukaku's winning trophy or Lukaku's impact as a person?
I'm coming. Yes, I'm going somewhere.
Because football, sorry, just a half second. Let me just put this as you continue.
Okay.
This is our media job. If you're good in presentation, you're known. And you know that you're good. You're not a teacher that somebody has to sell you. Ndidi is good. The clubs see these people. So agent is important, but you're supposed to be good enough that you're selling. Every time you go on the field, you're selling yourself. The agent can sell you, but you're selling yourself to on the field.
Hasn't Wilfred sold himself? Let me make my point. Now, we are talking about what I'm talking about, whether we like it or not. Your representative, let me not use the word agent, it's a street probably layman. Your representative has about 60-70% of how your career goes, whether you like it or not, whether he's taking you to the best of the clubs, whether he's initiating the right connect for you. Whether he's probably getting you to a club that will get the best out of you, his influence must be there. Indeed, he has sold himself enough. For me, the buck stops now with who is his representative. Who is marketing him, and probably is the person listening to offers, or do they have a plan that maybe Ndidi will get to 28 before he starts leaving the club? By then, probably we must have seen the best of him. Whether we like it or not, look at Jack Grealish. Look at the influence over Manchester City. Gareth Bale's agent is his rep. Whether we like it or not, Kelechi had to run to the same establishment that brokered the second deal he just signed recently. So Ndidi has to do a lot more. We're talking about Mikel Obi. When people went to China, his John Shitsu, that's the name of his representative. When people were going to China, Oscar, these other guys, the Chelsea, that guy from Brazil that looks like... N'Golo Kante somehow, I can't really remember his name now. Those guys went to China early on, they cashed out. But when Mikel moved to that, what we saw was 130k, and I'm like, what are you doing? And from there, he moved over to Stoke City. What I'm trying to say is that there are people that would have managed his career a lot better. Who are the representatives of our Nigerian footballers? Because it's the way you package your product, that is the way the product will be asked questions about.
Yeah, true.
You see something about packaging products?
Yeah,
true. So, you know, packaging products means... This headphone is worth 100 million.
Hmm.
And this is what the headphone can do.
Okay.
Because I haven't even used the headphone before. So come and buy it. I haven't used it. The media profession, that's why I'm going to use the media again.
That's
and
different
professions like football are different from a classroom teacher. A classroom teacher could be the best teacher, but if somebody doesn't come to tell you, Samuel, that that teacher is the best teacher, you wouldn't know because you're not in his class.
Yeah.
The media profession, all you need to do is you turn on your radio, you're listening to Samuel consistently. This guy is good. Even rival stations have people who cut people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to. In football, football is not something when, you know, any player is playing in his bedroom and nobody is seeing the player. So Sam, as the agent, has to be the only one singing the praises of this player. The point I'm trying to make is, if you say Lukaku, for example, is because it's his agent that is pushing these deals. Chelsea have scouts, don't they? All of the big clubs have scouts. They also, your agent, Sam, cannot just come and tell me that Lukaku is the best thing. And if Lukaku is not the best thing, Sam selling Lukaku to me
certainly
will not be enough for me to spend the money. So these guys know who Lukaku is. And again, I'm going to use this Lukaku thing because it looks like every time there's always a condescending approach towards the guy. He went to Everton, he proved his worth. He went to Manchester United. They accused him of first touch. He still scored goals. He went to Inter Milan. It's a player thing. So we're not talking about
just
the trophies. No, I'm not
arguing
about it. We're talking about Nigerian players generally. And my point is putting
them.
The blame on just agents.
It's not enough
at all.
Chuma.
Prove your worth and the big clubs will also see you. They will see you. Football is not a secret
thing. I picked Ndidi, for instance, because it's the focal point now. The rest of them, I mean, Starboy just moved over to Napoli.
Yeah.
And supposed to be the one that has been consistent. It's supposed to be the one that has probably caught eyes. And I believe you one thing, the UK media are beginning to talk about him. He has been linked with Manchester United. Probably
the
United
fans,
feel
the fans
exactly.
Influenced that.
His addition may hamper the growth of the players like Scott McTominay, who they have placed so much faith in.
But
maybe a certain Fred who they bought 52 million. So there's something about, you know, this business. Well, so many shady deals go beneath. Look at the star boy everyone is talking about, Erling Haaland, that is doing Shakara. He was almost going to go to Man United.
All
who
right,
put the
so,
plug?
So for you, Adese, it's a case of the agents
who is
not
who
doing
is packaging
it.
You?
Maybe the players need to do a lot more. What's your take?
Sam, very, very quickly. In Europe, there is a natural resentment for Nigerian players. Some is influenced by the fact that they feel Nigerian players do not have the ability to actually improve. Some of them are not what they claim to be also in terms of age and all of that. There's so many factors militating against the average Nigerian players or player playing in Europe. But the addition of also not being represented by the right set of people, you know, top seats for me.
It's because, the biggest factor.
Yeah,
for you.
No. Maybe it's not the biggest, but it's a part of the problem. All right. Naturally, Nigerian players are not the favorite, all right, to get moved.
So
I mean,
the question is why are they not the favorite? I don't think it's a case of natural selection.
That's what I'm saying.
That
naturally, you know, there are so many resentment from the average CEO who wants to buy a Nigerian player. Because we have seen series of examples where, you know, a Nigerian player moves to a club and he's not good as he claims to be, or his age is not, you know, what he is saying his age is. There are so many issues. But on the flip side, Nigerian players are also not doing enough in terms of being represented. I looked at Wilfred Ndidi's agency. He's being managed by 11. That's the name of the agency. I went through the talent in that agency and he's the biggest name there. He's the biggest name in the list of players.
So are you saying if he were represented by a better agency,
he would have gotten a move.
He should be represented by
honest question, Tony.
Yeah.
In the last 2-3 seasons, have you consistently seen Ndidi progress from what he used to be
of
to a better player?
Sam, I would tell you categorically, in the last 4 years,
remember,
the two best midfielders.
Remember I said something on Saturday that we don't appreciate our own. I said that and I'm going to stand by it.
All right.
He's probably from Nigeria.
We have to go on a break very soon.
He's been consistent.
Talking about Super Eagles players abroad, what do you make of the situation? Is it a case of the players not doing enough or not upping the ante to earn these mega moves and bigger moves away? Or do you think they certainly need to get better representatives as to their agents and all of that? 0700-993-993-993. Let's do this. I'm looking at... Let's just see how many calls we can take before the break. Turn down the volume of your radio set. Good evening to you.
Yes, my name is Chima, calling from Sulu.
Very quickly, Chima, let's get your thoughts.
For me, for Simi Nwankwo, I think it's a good move because I don't know the other teams that were bidding for him. Maybe he didn't want to go there and then sit on the bench. So that's why I feel that he chose that team that he went to. And for Wilfred Ndidi, for the past 3 seasons, he's the best defensive midfielder in the Premier League.
Do the numbers certainly say that? I think many will disagree with you.
In the Premier League, he's been the best defensive midfielder.
All right.
Nobody that performed more than me in the Premier League.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you very much for calling in. On to the next one very quickly. Good evening to you.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Welcome. What's your name?
This is Don Duke from Savoyaba.
Welcome, Don.
I've been listening to you guys so keenly, and I start feeling somehow. And I don't want you guys to start feeling so bad about Nigerian players. When we were talking, when some of you were, you guys were talking, I remember Kan Nwankwo. I remember Sunday Olise. I remember Okocha. These guys, are they not world-class players? I ask you, then answer it maybe after my talk. Understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So now you are talking about now. You understand? We are in the full modern days. It depends on our foundation, our league, and our everything that is happening in Nigeria. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So if you are saying that Nigerians, it depends on whatever, they are cool, they are agents, they are this, they are that. Okay, let me tell you, Nigeria, we have big players. It all depends on how they play their games.
All right.
Very well.
Okay, done. Thank you very much. We get your thoughts. 1-0700-993-993-993. Should be working in our library department. Good evening to you. Hello?
Nigeria Limited.
Hey, Mr. Frank. Good evening to you.
They hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast.
I'm Anthony the Voice.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I greet everybody. I'm Anthony.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good.
See, let me start from Anna Yoyiguala.
Okay.
I'm very, very happy that he has left this country to a better country. They hear me?
And they hear you?
Yes. And for the players playing in Europe, either in Chelsea or Manchester United or in any club, that does not mean. Let them go out there and play. What they need is that money. Work and get the money. Doesn't mean it's not a must that all of them must play for Chelsea or Liverpool. But if the opportunity comes,
okay,
they have to go and play. And you have to know that all these things are racism. I see fighting them there.
All right.
And so many other things that follows. And something like the way they come up. So me, I don't want to count the club they are playing. My own is let them get that opportunity. If there is any other one left that I hear, somebody like I know you well and his friends, if there is any other one that I see remaining, if the opportunity to come, let them go out there and earn the money. The next 1 year or 2 years, if I know you well, come back here as a visit or as a break, he will be a big boy here.
All right.
Are you getting me?
I'm with you.
Uh-huh. So let them just go there. Because if any of them there and it's something like ankle injury come, that is the end of it. But if they are there, they will be taken care of.
Okay.
That's my own. No, I'm not talking too much.
you haven't said too much. Thank you very much for always calling in, Mr. Frank. On to the next one. Good evening to you. Hello. Hi there.
My name is Oyedola.
Welcome, Dola.
Yeah, I really want to pinpoint the matter of agency because I have a brother that is working with an agent in UK.
Okay.
Not only that, one of the issues these players have is greediness. If an agent say he wants 70% or 60%, they will be looking for the one that will collect 30%, and they don't know that 70%, the agent will push it to the scout. To the scouting system, to the scouting people, and also do a lot of promos. It will do a lot of promos. For example, if an artist needs a party, and the price of Partey is too much because the scouts have been giving a little money. So now the scouts will be telling me, okay, we have an alternative player like Ndidi. Are you getting it?
Okay.
And sometimes the player itself, an agent can come and tell you that, oh, I need to show money.
Wow. Ah, all right. Sorry about that one. Do well to call back. That felt like inside information, but we know this thing.
Yeah, I mean, he made absolute point, absolute fact. You know, the issue of greediness and wanting to maximize profit in the short term without knowing that, listen, if you get a more expensive agent and he takes, let's say,
is it about the agent being expensive or the agent having the ability to broker these
that's
deals?
The point. Now, I mean, we're talking about level. I mean, there are levels to all of these things. I mean, there are agents who would say, oh, for whatever deal I broker for you, I'd get 30%. There's some top, you know, ranked agents who will say I would want 40 or 50, but these guys have got stronger connections. They can, you know, help you with better moves, all right, and all of that. And sometimes, you know, these young players feel like, oh, this money is too much. I can't pay this kind of money, or I don't want an agent who would require so much money. And so you go for the very affordable ones, in quotes. And at the end of the day, you are going in circles and all
any,
of that. So
any player I, that does, I any do player un, that
understand
don't
his
trust
perspective.
His agent, and then there shouldn't be that relationship shouldn't even stand. Any player that wants to refute what the agent says, I want 70, I want this, then that relationship shouldn't stand at all. There's a reason why the person is a representative. That means you trust them in total. For instance, PSG offered Lionel Messi a contract since Sunday. He handed over to his lawyers. That part of the group. They all pulled over that contract ever since Sunday, and then it was today they gave him all clear head to fly down to Paris that the contract is okay. So there must be a trust between clients. And on the flip side, I'm not going to stand by this. We have situations where agents have ripped their clients apart. We have situations where agents have, because of their own greed now, wanting to get the largest share, have ruined the careers of players. For instance, Victor Osimhen was almost going to fall into that category. The contract he signed at Napoli was written in Italian. Someone had to interpret and say, no, don't sign. If you sign this contract, you're going to be a slave to your agent forever. Don't even sign. And then someone had to read that contract again in English. He understood it and then parted with that particular agent. And then, I mean, these stories go on and on. Let's not digress. But the truth of the matter is the way you package your market. Who be the marketer? Agents. Agents, do something. If you don't have the right connect, and then it's high time, probably people like Ndidi. I'm talking about him. I don't care about other people just yet. They're not in the market.
All right. Let's hear from you. We'll take three more calls and then we'll talk about transfers. As there's development on the Messi situation. He's pretty much about a Paris Saint-Germain player now as it stands. Good evening to you. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening to you. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Demi from Ibadan.
Welcome, Denny.
You see, Demi.
Demi, sorry. Welcome.
Yeah. You're welcome. I actually agree, well, 70% with Chuma. You see, the truth is, most of these players don't even play well. Now, we keep citing examples of, okay, a player will go somewhere, you find out that he's not as good as he was started to be. So whose fault is that? It's the fault of the player. So that's actually not taking away from the definitely not taking anything away from the fact that, okay, you also still need very good agents. For crying out loud, who was Nicolas Pepe's agent before Arsenal paid how much did they pay for him? Of course, he played very well where he was. And you could say that the same thing also happened with Osimhen. That was how Napoli were also able to get him for that amount of money. But the truth is, we only have bits and pieces of these guys. It's not like there are very many like that. So there's only so much an agent can do. That's just to be honest. There's only so much an agent can do. If you yourself are not putting the right foot forward, then your agent's effort will be wasted. Well, that said, I'm happy for this Enyimba guy that went to West
Anayo.
First, they have a more organized structure over there, and he probably would look at it and say, okay, it might also be a propelling factor for him to go even to a bigger place, because of course it means that they're going to be performing week in, week out, or month in, month out, as the case may be, or year in, year out in the CAF Champions League, which automatically means more exposure, unlike where anybody will be knocked out in wherever it is they are getting knocked out. So that's just it. It's well with Nigeria. And it's not even only in our football. It's generally in our sports. That's why we found out that we've not even won any medal in athletics for how many years. So that mediocrity is beginning to catch up with us. Seriously.
All right, then. Thank you very much for your call. We'll take one final call. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Hi there. What's your name?
Yeah, Jesu Lokoye calling back.
Welcome, Jesu.
Yeah. So, if an agent now says he wants to collect 70% and 30%, and I disagree, someone saying that is great. How can you collect 70% of a deal?
Don't understand.
Because you want to broker a good deal for me. I don't understand that mentality. How can that be great? Is it not the agent that is greedy? You see, in DD, I support everything Ada has been saying since. In DD is so good. If he was white, I am very sure Madrid would be calling for him now. If he was white, or if he was a France national, I'm very sure they will be running after him, just like N'Golo Kanté. That guy is so good, but I think the people he has that are working for him,
they are not doing enough.
They don't even see anything that that can for them to even say, this man is good. Maybe because he's black. That's to me. It's because he's a Nigerian. That's why he's like that. 4 years in Leicester. That guy, if he comes to United, both Scott McCormick, all of them, we will bench them. He's so good. I just wish Man U can go for NDD. I love him so much. He's better. He's the best Nigerian player right now in Europe, to me.
All right, then. Thank you very much, Jesu, for calling in. Interesting thoughts. Mr. Chuma, your analysis is on point. For those of us who grew through the 80s till now, we know we don't have top-notch players anymore. Complacency worries them a lot. Many players in the 90s were bought on Nigerian soil without super agents like Raiola, Mendes and co. Oladele Mike sends in that message, and he does make a very, very valid point. Marvelous Ramushi says, Samuel, I don't think the agent factor is the major problem of Nigerian players. If you're exceptional, you will obviously attract buyers. It's just like how a beautiful woman attracts suitors. I don't think there's any better example than that. Good evening to everyone in the studio. For me, Ndidi has done his part and is consistently delivering in his department for the Foxes. I believe the agent is not doing enough in terms of marketing. I guess you were trying to say Ndidi has potential for more than all of the English players like Philip and co. All right, thank you very, very much. Let's talk about the Super Cup that is set to go down tomorrow. Chelsea taking on Villarreal in that final tomorrow. And the Chelsea manager, Thomas Tuchel, rather than answer questions or ask questions as regards the game itself, he's been having to field questions as regards the future of certain players in the Chelsea team. Impending arrival of Romelu Lukaku and, of course, the exit of Tammy Abraham, who we hear Chelsea have agreed a £34 million fee with Roma for the transfer of the English striker. Chelsea prefer to sell outside of England rather than to suitors in the Premier League. Let's take a listen to the Chelsea manager, Thomas Tuchel, speaking ahead of that game tomorrow.
I'm very happy with the potential and the actual performance of the group and with the group itself, because it played during all the half a year with a fantastic spirit and showed a great mentality. So I always said I am happy if I have the same group again and we start the next season with the same group. I am a happy coach. So this was the headline. We had some ideas. We discussed ideas because we have fantastic scouting. We have a very, very clear structure in the club. So with Petra and Marina and the owner, of course, everybody shares the ideas and the opinions. and then it's very calm. We always try to improve the squad, but at the same time from outside. But at the same time, we believe in development. We believe in development of our players. We have a lot of young players up front. For example, Hakim Ziyech, Kai Havertz, Timo Werner, who now play their second season in England, and I'm very, very sure that it gives them this experience of last season, gives them a huge boost. So there's nothing to worry about, and of course other clubs signed heavily this summer, which is their right, and is good for the league, and it's a huge challenge to compete with them. But in the end, football is a team sport, and we have a strong squad in which we believe and which we will keep on pushing. And they'll see what's going to happen.
Thomas Tuchel speaking ahead of that game tomorrow and talking about the club's transfers and the business they've done, also commending Marina Granovskaya and the rest of the Chelsea body. He's also had something to say about the impending arrival of Romelu Lukaku. And then he says, I don't like, in the words of Mourinho, I don't speak about other people's players. I only speak about my players. Let's have a listen to Thomas Tuchel as regards the transfer of Romelu Lukaku to Chelsea.
Well, I'm absolutely not in a position to announce anything, and I will maybe refuse to talk about it because we're in a day match day minus one press conference before a European final, and it's clearly not the moment for personal discussions of our squad. As you know, I have a lot of trust in the existing squad, and we proved already that we can be a strong side. I talked many times about that we discussed together our ideas how to improve the squad, which is not easy. With Oliver Giroud leaving the club and having also an important role over the last years, we miss a certain profile of attacker. And then we need to wait and see what's possible, what's not possible. But we are not in hectic, we are not in panic, and we are happy to work with the team and to arrive with a team like it is tomorrow. And today there is nothing to announce, and it will be, it will always stay like this, that I will not talk about it until the moment we have something to be announced.
All right, Thomas Tuchel saying, I will not talk about it, but we know Romelu Lukaku has passed the first part of his medical and he's in London and he's about to complete that deal. Will not be completed in time for him to play in the Super Cup tomorrow, but surely he will be in contention to play against Crystal Palace this weekend. Chimanoli, the current Chelsea striker who was signed last season has also spoken about this one, Timo Werner, saying, this is the striker that will make me start scoring the goals that you guys have always wanted. Timo Werner, Kai Havertz, Mason Mount, Hakim Ziyech, Romelu Lukaku coming in. How do you think, or which will be your best front three, or how do you deploy these guys to get Chelsea firing on all cylinders?
I'm not the coach. Yeah, I'm going to sound like this guy now and just act like I want to deflate. I'll deflect the question to somebody else at the moment. But on a more serious note now, responding to you directly, no doubt about it, man. I know that, you know, Chelsea spent so much money to get each of those strikers you called, Timo Werner, more so, 60+, you know. But when you get a striker for 97 and a player who featured for you in the past, moved on to your other territories and has made his mark, without any iota of doubt, Lukaku will be the biggest striker in Chelsea when he comes. Pedigree-wise, consistency over the years, performances, numbers. And so there's no debate as to, you know, the fact that he's going to come into that Chelsea setup and start immediately.
All right.
Yeah, so I was trying to make a point as to why there's no argument here on to who will be first choice. Timo Werner did a great job in the Bundesliga, but Lukaku is not his mate in world football as to consistency and numbers over the years. And, you know, you look at Chelsea's setup for last season under coach Thomas Tuchel, and you can bet on the fact that you're going to have one major point man. Of course, he could be assisted by all the other guys in the mix, whether it's Kai Havertz, Mason Mount, Christian Pulisic, from those three men forward for the setup. But you're going to have one guy in the center. Timo Werner was mostly, for most of the time, that guy in the center of attack. And at this moment, Lukaku will come and displace him from there. So Timo Werner can think of what will happen, you know, because of course, certainly you always still have, whether it's Kai Havertz or Pulisic or Mason Mount supporting, from the other side of the three-man attack line. So that's where the problem is for Timo Werner. If Lukaku's coming will help inspire him to start scoring the FA Cup, because I'm sure that because Chelsea will be taking part in four different competitions, the coach will try to pacify everyone by playing you know, guys in different tournaments, so at least you play. So if that will trigger his goal-scoring abilities in the FA Cup and then he starts challenging Lukaku for a starting berth in the bigger competitions, the Premier League and the Champions League, that's what we'll wait to see. But I, you know, that without any argument at all, Lukaku comes into that team and strolls into the starting lineup immediately.
All right, Lukaku said to complete that, Tony.
And I mean, just to add a rejoinder to what Chuma talked about, I also think that there could be an exploration of you know, 5-3-2, where, you know, there'll be a two, you know, double striker. I mean, Timo has talked about how well he flourished
at Leipzig.
Yeah, with, you know, partnering either Schick or Yusuf Poulsen, just playing on the shoulder of a point man. He loves to actually drift. So Tuchel should be looking at exploring 5-3-2. Normally they play 3-4-3. That's what they play now. So there'll be a lot of work in the training session to actually see how these two guys, because I feel like there should be a room for these two guys to partner, and then we see what they can do. And I mean, you also see what Lukaku did with Inter Milan, you know, playing just on the shoulder of Lautaro Martinez and scoring 30 goals. So those, I mean, we could be potentially seeing a very good partnership with Timo and Lukaku, but I mean, that's left to be seen. It's a lot of work in training, but Lukaku have shown that he can function well, all right, with a striker, either as a point man or as a supporting striker. And I mean, when you look at the number of assists, he was the only player who got into double figures, goals and assists in the, you know, Serie A last season. So Lukaku is one fantastic player to play with, really. He knows how to set up and he knows how to go on the end of it. So it would be nice to see what, you know, that partnership would come about when the season starts. But for me, I would love to see a 5-3-2, and you know, let's see flying fullbacks and just have those two strikers right in front of the attack, causing lots of havoc.
Well, it would have been interesting to see Lukaku tomorrow. I think it was in that Super Cup back in the day, 2012, that Mourinho felt he's seen enough. I felt he would have, maybe they would have finalized the deal early enough for him to join that party and atone for his sins. It was his penalty kick that, you know, cost Chelsea that particular trophy. So after that relationship, 2014, not 2012, yeah. After that relationship, Mourinho had to ship him off to West Brom and then. But I think there's been this a clear doubt that Lukaku is yet to prove himself in the English Premier League, especially. There's been accusations of being a flat track bully. There's been talks about this player himself. And Chelsea certainly are not getting Lukaku to come score against Watford. They're not getting Lukaku to score against Norwich, no. They're getting Lukaku to, you know, get in the mix. They're getting Lukaku to be a game changer. And the strike partnership they've been talking about, Tuchel, it's up to him now to get the best out of Lukaku. There's a certain system that flourishes for Lukaku, but can Tuchel do that now? But I'm happy particularly that he's seen the characteristics of something he wants in his team. There's a void in his team he wants to plug. There's a hole he wants to take care of. I hope that Lukaku will come in and give Chelsea fans something to cheer about. Him as a player feels that he has this unfinished business in England. And we cannot compare an Italian Serie A highest goal scorer to the English Premier League. It's a different kettle of fish entirely. A lot is expected of him, and hopefully he will hit the ground running playing alongside Timo Werner, Kai Havertz, or even a Pulisic, or even a Mason Mount. So I think it's an interesting one, but then fingers crossed, let's see what this man will bring on board.
The signing of Leo reinforces Paris Saint-Germain's aspiration, as well as providing the club's loyal fans with not only an exceptionally talented squad, but also moments of incredible football in the coming years. This is how Paris Saint-Germain have confirmed the signing of Lionel Messi on a two-year contract from, as a free agent he was, but he does leave Barcelona, and he is now a Parisian, from a Catalan to a Parisian. And we know he'll be linking up with Neymar and, of course, Kylian Mbappe. Messi will wear the number 30 jersey in his first season, his first number that he wore at Barcelona. So the worst kept secret in football has been revealed. PSG have confirmed the signing of Lionel Messi as he now becomes a Parisian. Pictures and videos of him arriving at the airport of Paris Saint-Germain wearing a shirt that says Paris, Allez le Paris or something like that. So that one surely has gone through. Number 30 jersey, he's now a Parisian. We now can move on with life. Barcelona can, you know, continue the rebuilding job as it stands at this point in time. But the question now is, will we have ego problems at Paris Saint-Germain? Neymar, we know, is quite the vocal character. Now, we know Kylian Mbappe is starting to develop that character as well, as one who loves to speak out for himself. We know Neymar left Barcelona because he wanted to be the focal point and the main man. And now Messi somehow always managed to be that player at the center of attraction. So we have Messi and Neymar linking up back at Paris Saint-Germain. And now there's a certain Kylian Mbappe who wants out from Paris Saint-Germain. Mauricio Pochettino, Chuma, you have to say, has got a big problem on his hands. He's got the best quality of players, but do you think we'll have ego issues with Messi, Neymar, and of course Kylian Mbappe and the other players in the squad as well?
I think we would have. You know, we already have to start accepting the fact that some of the high-profile players who in some other teams will be sure starters will have to start games from the bench. From the goalkeeping department, Keylor Navas, for example, this is a guy who's won everything, at least at club football level with Real Madrid, and he may have to play second fiddle to Donnarumma, who's come from AC Milan. Our man Mauro Icardi, you know, for all of his big boyness, he may have to be coming off the bench. You know, there's quite a choked up midfield too in that setup. So those ones who cause issues from the beginning. Secondly, too, we all know that there's been no love lost between Messi and Ramos. Yeah, it's going to take so much maturity for these guys to now work together in one team. I know they are astute professionals, but they are human too. So that will come in. I'm not concerned. I'm not scared of feathers being ruffled between Mbappe, Lionel Messi, and Neymar. I think they work together in synergy. I think they work together in sync, and I think they'll achieve so much together. The same way we've seen BBC, Benzema, Ronaldo, and Gareth Bale succeed. The MSN. Same way we saw, you know, of course, Messi and Suarez and Neymar, that synergy and love. We're going to see same in the attacking department. My concern for egocentric issues would be, you know, players who think they deserve to start matches who may not have that privilege. And, you know, I put it out on social media, I think it was earlier today or also previously, and there's been the whole talk, you know, best 11 players in the world from 2020. PSG alone have four of those best 11 players in the world from 2020. The Premier League has five. PSG alone have four. Italian Serie A have just one. Bundesliga just one. As things stand, the Spanish La Liga don't have any player who was in that top 11 for last year for FIFA. So when you have one team and a manager who's not won a trophy before, it becomes an issue to manage these egos.
Who cares about that?
Who's not won any major trophy? Sorry, let me use that word. You're right. It's going to be a big problem for him.
Well, I think, you know, it looks like, I remember sometimes life saves you what you deserve. Yeah, it depends on how you manage it. I remember a lot of people, sympathies wrote, before I get into that anyway, tears that was shared on Sunday. After Sunday, now it's all smiles. When you bring into consideration the money at play, one man will be earning 1 million per week, though before tax, though. And then after tax, you know, he's going to earn about 550K. It brings to question sometimes, you know, I ask myself, I hope you're not in the wrong profession. I don't understand how one person will be earning about 1 million per week. Just in a year, you're earning about 12 million. If you put that in Naira, 17 billion naira a year just for, you know, one person. It is what it is then, but there's no love lost really. I'm talking about Pochettino now. There's been a lot of pity. He had to work in a particular season at Tottenham Hotspur without a particular signing, limited resources. He was saddled with that responsibility of sucking out every juice from the existing squad. But now life has changed. He's got some fresh fruit. But then what are you going to do with the fresh fruit? That's the big question now. I remember the case of The MSN, yeah, flourished because there was a certain Neymar who was at the age of 23 then, still trying to stamp his authority. So there was always going to be that a little bit of respect for Lionel Messi. And Lionel Messi back then also had his physical powers to his game. He could do every magic, not like the Messi we have these days that resort to being a playmaker and then conserve his energy for those magical moments in games. But for, I don't know if the remaining nine squad will be willing to work for Messi. That is where the ego issue comes on board. And Mbappe, we saw his antecedent in the just concluded Euro 2020. So All I see, I don't see a team. All I see in that, you know, in at Paris right now is an 11-man unit. So it depends on Pochettino. Now he has a huge assignment. How do you get the best out of the 11-man unit you have? In the last three seasons, if my stats serves me right, the Champions League have been won through a particular system. And that system is teamwork. There's no individuality in there. And at PSG, all I see is an, you know, individualistic project. Tuchel, Hansi Flick have all won it in the last couple of seasons, including Jurgen Klopp. They've all found a way to, you know, get the teamwork. But for Paris Saint-Germain now, is the holy grail, is the reason why they landed Messi. They didn't bring Messi to win this. I mean, obviously, it's not going, when they win the championship there in France, it's not going to be a big deal. But now, the holy grail is what has, you know, eluded them. Now Messi has come on board. Can they hold it down? Now Messi has come on board. With the star-studded nature of the squad backfire, time would certainly answer this question.
Big, big questions begging for answers. And before we wrap up the Messi conversation and talk about Rafael Varane, who's had his medical at Manchester United today, Anthony, how close is Mauricio Pochettino to being sacked?
I mean, isn't that disrespectful?
Or should I rephrase that?
Please do. I mean,
is he now condemned to winning the Champions League?
He has to deliver. Don't forget, he signed a short-term contract, 18 months, if I'm not mistaken.
Extended.
Yeah, okay, the Green Man extension now. Okay, so I mean, they do believe that in the next 2 years, at minimum, he's supposed to deliver that trophy. I mean, it is hard, you know, to
make 2 years?
Yeah.
2 years.
Well,
with the money spent, 2 years.
I mean, Messi was giving a 2-year contract.
I actually think the signs will be seen in the group stage. If they are not winning 6-0, 7-0.
No. I don't think so. I mean, right now there is the paucity of managers in world football. So if you're sacking your manager, then you have a concrete plan on a replacement, a better
Antonio
replacement for that matter. All right, but I think it's a very difficult one for Poch, and it's got to be his most challenging time of his career now. He's got you know, the dream of so many managers to handle.
This players.
Yeah. Technically, he's a good manager. In terms of man management, you know, it's left to be seen, because he hasn't particularly managed this, you know, level or class of players. In terms of ego, just to rub off on the initial conversation, I don't think so. And why I don't think so is, I think the individual involved, Lionel Messi, he's one who have, you know, shown himself to be a selfless player on so many occasions. And, you know, the partnership with Luis Suarez and all of that, we've seen how sometimes he can take the backseat for somebody to also get that shine. I think it's important. And I also think that, you know, he's got players who their existing relationships going into that team. You can talk about, you know, Neymar, who really loves his friend and, you know, is very vocal about the very good relationship that they have. His other friend, Angel Di Maria, who is also his compadre too from the national
team.
Going
to be out of favor as it appears. Yeah,
well, it does appear. But, you know, I feel like Messi is not somebody who can come and cause discord. I don't see his personality to be that way.
That's the problem. He doesn't do it, but because he's Messi.
No. I mean, it's what we've seen. We don't know what would happen tomorrow. Yeah. But just speaking from antecedents, all right. So I think that they would find a way to get the job done. It's absolutely important that they get the UEFA Champions League. And I'm expecting to see how they would line up. I really want to see how Poch will set them up in terms of the formation. There have been so many talks about how that team will look like going forward. But, I mean, it's a dream to see Messi, Mbappe and Neymar in one football team. That's crazy.
Well, it sounds like sometimes Messi can be selfless, but then recall the incident that happened in Anfield. That was 2 seasons ago when they were beaten by Liverpool. We saw a Messi that was looking in despair. He's not perfect. I remember that 8-2 drubbing last season. I think it was a Bayern Munich. We saw Messi that was trolling. These big stars, at some point, what I'm trying to say is that they have a tendency of doing their own thing. despite the game plan, despite his coach's instruction. It's just innate as that big star, that ability, just that freedom. I want to enjoy myself. If it's to the detriment of the team, now it becomes a problem. But certainly, Messi is an exclusive and expensive introduction into Paris Saint-Germain. A very potential commercial possibility at that. And certainly, he will be a hit.
All right, let's talk about John Stones, who we hear certainly confirmed has signed a new 5-year deal with the Premier League champions. His contract at the Etihad Stadium was due to expire next year, but he will now remain at the club until 2026. Stones is 27 years of age. These days was part of England's Euro 2020 team that reached the final, and he's spoken about his excitement at staying further at City. He says, I love being part of this squad and I look forward to many things to come. Now, Rafael Varane had his medical after confirming that or signing that deal, agreeing more like to move to Manchester United. Now we have a paucity of defenders at in the Premier League top class central defenders. Now we have Maguire and Varane, we have Stones and Ruben Diaz, we have Thiago Silva and Co at Chelsea, we have Konate who's joined at Liverpool, and we have Ben White as well. So we have arguably the best set of defenders in the Premier League, central defenders more like, in the Premier League. But which club side do you think has got the best pairing defensively going into the new season? That's the big question. We'll get your thoughts as well, guys. But let me get the thoughts of the guys very quickly. Let's just pick a club as we go around. Chuma, which club has got the best backing, best centre-back pairing?
I think I'll go for Man City, since we've already seen them work together and it clicked. There's the few other names you called.
You don't want to aspire?
Be new to Maguire.
I run.
Varane.
That's a new one. Anthony?
Maguire Varane.
Yeah. All right.
too much success and experience.
On the part of one player, not the other.
That's what, as a pair, don't forget, as a pair. So we're talking about them as a pair. Not single.
One trophy will rub off on the other.
Exactly.
And they say, which team do you think has got the best central defense pairing?
I think all eyes will be at. For me, I think Liverpool. Watch out for Liverpool defense. Virgil van Dijk alongside the young, athletic, energetic Ibrahima Konate. If Ibrahima Konate is not thrown into the fray, remember that Joe Gomez and Virgil van Dijk's marriage has been perfect ever since Virgil van Dijk made that switch to Southampton. So I'm putting my eyes on the Liverpool big guns that are back after a lengthy timeout on the treatment table.
All right, so it's Liverpool, Man City, and of course Manchester United. Don't ask me the question. The answer is obvious. I think the reigning European champions have got it. I mean, they've got Thiago Silva in there. Silva.
I understand you.
That's bags of experience.
Anthony was rude, but you are Rudiger.
Yeah, Rudiger.
All right. It's time to hear from you. 0700-993-993-993. We'll also take your thoughts on WhatsApp. 0800-95-975-805. We've talked about defense. Let's look at the whole summer transfer activity so far. Which would you say, which club side would you say has done the best business as it is?
This is mouth-watering.
The best business.
Yeah.
The
club that's done.
Same players move.
In
across
England
Europe, not just in across Europe.
Okay.
So Barcelona certainly can't be in that equation.
Real Madrid can't even.
I'm saying PSG, not because of Messi. But these handful of free transfers, that for me is the best deal.
Yeah.
You know, Wijnaldum free. Ramos.
Yeah, four. I think four.
Yeah.
Four
Donnarumma
as well.
Free, you know. So for me, it's those free deals.
Although these guys have got heavy.
So take away Messi. In fact, forget minus Messi. I know the wages are huge. But imagine if you were going to sign Varane for 41, which is one man you. You didn't sign. You now spend that 41 to pay salaries. Nothing do you now for that.
At all. Jadon Sancho, Varane, add to what Pogba, add to what man. I mean.
Which club has done the best?
Chelsea's got Lukaku.
He's gone for PSG. I'm going to remain in English Premier League. I think that's where all the whole drama is. Woohoo. I think I have to give it to City. City, just that one player will be a handful. That one player will fortify them into even making them dominant again to retaining that title. Grealish is versatile. Grealish can play anywhere. And he certainly is going to plug it. And if they land Harry Kane, which is 50-50, then it will cap a perfect market for both. For Chelsea, I just call them 40% because they did a whole lot of business last time around and the players are just getting to jail. So, jury's out for me for Chelsea. But I think I'll give it to City. One man Jack Grealish will make a difference.
All right, Chelsea's got Lukaku. Jules Koundé is looking like he's going to join.
What's going on?
The priority was always to get Lukaku. Then they're going to go back and resurrect that
deal.
And there's
no time. Time is of essence.
Well, there's still till the end of the season.
31st of August.
Yeah, to the end of the month.
So that deal is, I mean, it's going
to
be wrapped
up. The player himself wants to come to Chelsea.
Yeah, that's the most
important
thing.
The question is
going
to be, if time is of the essence, what are the terms?
What are the terms?
It's whiskey.
Tony, for you, it has to be Manchester United, right?
You know what it is.
How can it be mine?
Let's hear from you now as we wrap up the broadcast. Which club side has done the best piece of business, and which club side as well do you think has got the best defensive partnership in the Premier League? 0700-993-993-993. We have a caller. Good evening to you, guys. Yeah.
Good evening. This is Adegoke from Lekki.
Welcome, Adegoke.
I greet everyone else.
We greet you too.
Yes, it's just been having fun listening to you guys. For me, I want to comment about Messi actually in PSG.
All right.
Yeah, PSG is already star-studded, and bringing Messi into it now is making it double star-studded or triple star-studded.
So, limited star, more like.
I think what they'll be doing with Messi is maybe come in second half and try to, you know, play some magic and then win the match for them. Because of his age, you know.
Messi tell you he's tired to play.
He's not going to be on the bench.
He's not any younger. You know, he's not getting any younger.
He might not play all games, but he will start most games that he plays.
Even if he starts, you will see that he will just play first half and leave. You get, but mostly they will want him to come in the second half and then finish up. You know?
You sound like you have inside information. Or did Posh talk to you?
Well, I'm just looking at his age. You
just postulating.
All right.
Looking at the stats, I think Messi has.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Messi has averaged about 45 games in the past 7 seasons consecutively. So in terms of age and whatever, it's not. Messi is still effective. He's still the highest performer at all times. And people are pity at the likes of Strabo. That's the people I pity, because it's going to flog them.
All right, good evening to you.
Hello, Samuel.
Hey, Friday, welcome back.
Yeah, Samuel said Messi will be wearing jersey number 30 in next series.
Number 30, yeah, 30. The first jersey he wore as a Barcelona player.
That showed that Messi is going to score 30 Ligue 1 goals next season.
Where the leg we want to score?
Yeah, I beg you. They see Chelsea somewhere.
Yeah.
Chelsea will be playing Velarena tomorrow in this Antigabi.
Yes.
I just pray that Chelsea will do everything possible to win this time around, because it's like they are 3 previous out, they have not won it.
Yeah.
I remember when Atletico hammered them 4-0.
The fuck out punishment.
I also remember that Bayern who that make Mourinho to sell Lukaku when Lukaku missed the last penalty, and they say Lukaku is coming back now.
That's why they didn't sign him on time.
I just pray that we will not go to penalty tomorrow, because with the pressure, Lukaku will also miss a penalty.
He's not playing.
All right.
We do everything possible, because the big three. That is the big three. That is Man U, Liverpool, and Chelsea.
Yeah.
They are the only ones who have not won the Super Cup in Europe. Let them do everything possible to win it this time around. I really pray for them.
Right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much
Chelsea
for calling.
Won 1998.
Yeah, in recent times they haven't. 3 finals, 3 defeats. Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen in the house and the lady.
Good evening. Hi. What's your name?
My name is Henry Collins from Aja. I'm a first time caller, actually.
First time caller. We love you. We love you. Welcome.
Interesting, mind-boggling discussion and conversation you guys are having there.
See, we haven't confused you, Sha.
No, you haven't. I think. The best team that had the best deals during this transfer window, I think, is still PSG, because they got a whole lot of stars for free, like Ramos and Messi,
Donnarumma, Wijnaldum,
too. So it's gonna be
Hakimi
for them. Yes. Then another thing that's following up is Manchester United. I think Manchester United have also tried to fortify their squad ahead of the season to try and break the jinx being held by Manchester United. I don't think Liverpool can challenge for the title this season.
Mm.
And then I'm just waiting to see how this season is going to be like for the League One, how the how Pochettino is going to manage the whole lot of talent there. talking about Messi, the combination of Messi and Mbappe and Neymar and all that, like the ego. Talking about the ego, you guys mentioned, because everybody wants to be the focal point, and Messi naturally will be the focal point for everybody. So, so I think he's going to stop. The ball is going to stop at Messi's feet. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. As it stands, Steven Gerrard will not be playing in the Champions League because they are losing at home 1-2 against Malmo. It's now 4-2 on aggregate in favor of Malmo.
I don't understand.
Celtic were knocked out. Now Rangers are knocked out. There's something happening there in Scotland.
They had a how many match on beating run stopped over the weekend. And now, I mean, this recent home voodoo, I mean, is very sad for a side who was so strong last season, stopping the dominance of Celtic. I mean, just one of those downsides.
All right. Sad. But the game is still going. We're just about close to the end. Ibrox Stadium, they are running out of time to turn that one. They need two goals to stretch that one into extra time. Good evening to you. Hello. All right. Sorry about that. 01465-7190 is our female line. Ladies, do well to call that line in the final 5 minutes of the show. Hi there. Good evening. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening to you. What's your name?
My name is Nnamdi, calling from Ijegun.
All right, Nnamdi, let's do this very quickly.
Yes, please. I want to correct one impression.
All right.
Chelsea has won Super Cup 1998. They defeated
Real Madrid.
Real, yeah.
Oh, I said
we
so.
Said it, yeah.
Now, Real Madrid 1-0. The goal scored by Zola.
Yes.
Zola.
Yeah, what we are saying is in recent time, they've lost the last finals they've played.
Okay,
to Bayern Munich and to Atletico Madrid, yes, three times.
Yeah, that one is true.
All right, then. Thank you very much for calling in. We do appreciate that. Just also sneaking WhatsApp messages. Do we have a call? Good evening to you. Good evening. What's your name?
Yeah, I'm Glenn.
Your name is?
Aaron.
All right, go ahead, Aaron.
I think they are talking congratulations to Chelsea for moving to PSG.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's kind of money for you, Francis. So I think Tony is going to play consistent play in the Champions League.
Nobody's
going to be
benching. All right, then. Okay, thank you very much. Your line was not too clear, but we'll take two more guys try to do this as short as possible. We're running out of time. Good evening to you.
Hello.
Good evening. What's your name?
Good evening, my name is Sumada.
Welcome, my brother.
Thank you. The club with the best signings this season has to be PSG.
All right.
In fact, if they don't win the Champions League this season, they should sack Pochettino.
He
should be sacked. Then in the EPL, it's United.
The best.
I would like to quickly say something about Ndidi.
All right, very quickly.
Why, probably, yes, quickly. There's something I think these clubs are considering that we're not looking at. The fact that when you sign an African player, they will go to Nations Cup, and that destabilizes these teams. You know, so maybe clubs are considering that fact. That's why they're apprehensive about signing African players, irrespective of how well they're doing. Because they don't want, you know, someone that will be playing well, generally the guy will just leave and the team will be destabilized.
All right.
That's what I think.
Right, thank you very much for calling. Final caller for now. Good evening to you.
Hello, good evening.
Hi there, you're the final caller.
Yeah, my name is Sulaiman.
Welcome, Sulaiman. Very quickly.
Yeah, I am just saying that you should just be someone that will just buy this at the shop. That man,
unfortunately, he's staying.
Yeah, Maya said they're not selling, according to reports.
I don't even know how far about Ahmed Musa, if he's going to any UN.
No information on that yet.
Ahmed Musa is in Turkey chilling.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the calls. We're sneaking two WhatsApp messages or more if we can. I think this PSG job is making for Wenger, because even Guardiola, Ancelotti, Mourinho can handle the ego. I see this as Arsene's final job by mid or next season. Halin Desire is sending in that message. Okay. I don't think Porsche is money. Okay, that's strong, but I get what you say. They're able to take them to glory. Uche from Mushi is sending in that message. Good evening, sports gang. I hope You're safe. Of course we are. Adeze, it was in 2013 European Super Cup between UCL champions Bayern, managed by Pep, and European champions Chelsea. Uche from Agboju is sending in that message. And finally, for now, no. Hi, guys. No one saw this transfer market being this wild. I feel more surprising deal will still happen before the end of August. What a window. Black Hammond is sending in that message. Unfortunately, guys, we have to go. That is the size of the broadcast.